number 32. Let's worship His Majesty. He is our King. 32. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, power, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Amen. Good morning. Good to see everybody here. Another beautiful Sunday morning, and all these kids up here with the cherub choir is going to sing for us. That's exciting as we come to that point in our service. Well, some announcements that I have before we go on. As usual, the ladies, women of the church, your spring meeting, as it's called, is today after our worship service. The countertops, as I've said before, and it's been in the bulletin, the color on the countertops will be decided. So if you want a part in that, then you need to be at the meeting. I think it's narrowed down. The committee has narrowed it down to three choices. So, and there'll be a couple other things. But the ladies, right after we sing God Bless America, the ones going to the meeting, you can excuse yourselves, grab something quick from coffee hour if you want, and head back down to one of the classrooms in the Sunday school wing. That will happen. So we do have coffee hour after church today, and we hope you join us. Want to say special thanks to Alan and Carrie Dyke for hosting that and coordinating it month by month. We appreciate it. Vacation Bible School, it's not till the end of May, but plans have to be made. So there are a couple sign-up sheets out in the narthex on the information cabinet of areas where we need help. And then there's one big sheet that if you're just willing to help wherever, and the coordinators will plug you in. Julie Crick and Lane Schmidt. Lane is doing this as part of her senior project, which is an awesome idea. Thank you, Lane and Julie, for helping. This Wednesday night is Lenten service at 7 o'clock. The high school students will be helping with all parts of the service once again, so I hope you can all be here this Wednesday at 7. Last thing I wanted to mention, other than whatever you read on your own, is a week from tonight, so then we're at April 3rd. That evening is our FCA banquet at the school gym. As you see, it's in the bulletin there. The guest speaker, Lynn Frederick, maybe some of you know of him. He was a longtime coach up at Brookings. And supper is included in this, and everybody is welcome to attend of all ages. You can come. So please join us there. The rest of the announcements, I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for another glorious day. This is the day, as your word says, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we rejoice in it, and we are glad. And we rejoice in you, Father, most of all, our Heavenly Father. As we come into your presence to worship you, Jesus, to worship you as our King, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, as we just sang that chorus of majesty, all authority and power is yours, and to yours be all of the glory and the majesty and the greatness. Father, as we sing our praises, we can only imagine what goes on in heaven before your throne with that great cloud of witnesses. And we join here on this earth in praising your name. So thank you. Thank you for your love for us that is so incredible. As always, we pray that you would increase our love for you and our faithfulness to you in serving you and walking with you day by day. So fill this place with your Spirit and move among us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll sing our opening hymn, which is Blessed Assurance, 572, Jesus is Mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Such a beautiful hymn. Fanny Crosby wrote that one as well. We've been singing some of those lately. I just say this quickly. I shared it on, I think it was a Wednesday night, last time our Lenten service. She was born with sight, and Fanny Crosby at 6 weeks old lost her sight. And God did incredible things through her. She wrote more than 8,000 hymns and did much more than that. But as she was in her later years of life, someone said to her, Fanny, if medical science could have it so that you could have your sight restored, would you accept that? She said, I would not, because the first person I want to see with my eyes is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Hi. Hi, Bo. Number five. Hi. Bam. Okay. Getting some hard fist bumps up here. Bloody knuckles. All right. Our joys and our concerns here this morning. First, certainly a joy, Fred and Ann Schultz's daughter, Katie Paulson, who's in the Air Force, and she and her family have been stationed over in Belgium for a couple years now, or 3 years already. Wow. She is getting pinned as a lieutenant colonel sometime coming up soon. I don't know, is it this coming week or the 1st of April? Yeah, lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, so praise the Lord. That's amen. You tell her our congratulations, okay, from all of us here. Kayleen Eisenbry is having hip replacement surgery tomorrow. Thought you were back there somewhere. Oh, there you are. I'm looking right there and I don't see you. So prayers for Kayleen as she goes for that. Let's see. If you're on the prayer chain, this you came through, maybe you heard it. Prayers for the family of Bruce Herbolt. So Bruce's brother in our church is Richard. A lot of you know him. Bruce, of course, is from Menno. He would be what we would call a son of our congregation as he went into the ministry and has served a church in Rapid City for, maybe close to 30 years now. So the accident, well, they were burning off CRP here last Thursday morning, southeast of town. And as the autopsy showed what happened, he had a massive heart attack as that was happening. So a very tragic ending. Be praying for his wife, LaVon. She was a Remfer from here as well. They have kids and grandkids. Marlon Herbolt, brother. Catherine Watson from up towards Freeman. That would be a sister. I don't have any news as far as on the service times. Of course, that will be in Rapid City. When we get that, we'll send it out on the prayer chain. Also, Johnny Graber from Freeman. This would be, Cheryl Herbolt's mother, Cleo Kepsch, and Johnny, very close friends for many years. He has been fighting cancer, and the way it sounds, will be placed on hospice care this coming week. So be praying for all of them. I think that's I wanted to say something on with the situation in Ukraine. I should have said this probably a couple weeks ago, but I was just reminded again, if you're thinking, boy, how could I give? I know through Billy Graham Ministry, Franklin Graham and the Samaritan's Purse on their website, they have a team over there in Ukraine ministering spiritually and naturally to the people. So just a suggestion or a thought if you're thinking about that. Okay, what do we have? Anything over here? Joys and concerns. Amy, today is Michaelmas's birthday. Where are we at? 15? 16? 15? Happy birthday, Michael. Okay. Nobody else? Yes, Marie? Thursday is Marie Crick's birthday. How old are you going to be?
Five.
Five. All right. Happy birthday. Okay. How about over on this side? Okay. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you. And Lord, as we're thinking about the situation ongoing over there in Ukraine and all of that, we do pray for those people. Lord, it's difficult to watch from afar. And we thank you for our leaders, our president who was over there and met with NATO, and we just ask for your guidance in the whole situation, Lord. We lift this all to you as we stand on your word that says the heart of the king, and we could put that in plural, the heart of the kings are in the hand of the Lord. And you direct them and turn them whithersoever way you will, even as you turn the rivers of water. So we trust you in this and thank you for your guidance, Lord, in all of it. Be with those people. It's hard to imagine. We can't even hardly comprehend what they're going through, being bombed and attacked. And so we just pray your hand of protection upon them of all ages in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for the family of Richard Herbolt, Bruce Herbolt, his wife LaVon, their kids and grandkids, his brothers Richard and Marlon and sister Catherine and their families. Lord, we just lift them up to you. And we know their faith is strong. We know their eyes are upon you. And he has served you, Lord, as best as he knew how for many years. And we know that you are the one who numbers our days. From life's first cry to our final breath, you are the one who commands our destiny. So we thank you for being with this family through this time, just ministering to them in Jesus' name and to the congregation there where he serves as well. We pray for Johnny Graber and family as he's to be moved into hospice care this week. Lord, thank you for being with them, Cleo and family, and Johnny and his family, and just for his strong faith in you, the life he has lived, and for whatever time he has left, let your peace rest upon them, Father, we do pray. We lift up Kayleen with her surgery scheduled for tomorrow morning, and I know there's been much prayer ahead of this, and we thank you that you are with her, with the surgeons doing the procedure. We trust that it will all go well, and the recovery time will be good for her, Lord. Thank you for all that would be helping. For Katie Schultz Paulson over there in Belgium, as she gets pinned on April 1st as a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. Thank you for all of her years of service, so faithful. Bless her, her husband Jake, their two young boys. Thank you for keeping them safe over there. And we pray that for all of our troops around the world, certainly many that are on very high alert with the situation in Europe. And again, thank you for wisdom and guidance and direction. Lord, these things we ask, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know the big picture of the end times and all that has to line up. And you know where we're at in that process because you determine it. So we trust you. We rest in you. You are our faithful Father. Thank you, Lord, for the birthdays mentioned, and probably many that weren't, but bless these individuals, we pray. Lord, we lift up our need for rain, moisture, and you know it very well, but still you tell us to ask and seek and knock, and we do, Lord. You know this is your creation, and you know what is needed to cause the everything to grow and prosper and develop, from the crops to the trees and the pastures and the fields. And so we thank you for pouring out the life-giving rain upon us in your time. Thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 4:12 tells us, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. Let's stand and we'll sing our doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Father, we do praise you, Lord of all creation. All creation praises you, and we do too. And one of the ways we do that is with the fruit, the first fruits of our lives, as we bring them into this storehouse with hearts of joy and thanksgiving. For you are our provider in every way, physically, spiritually, materially, emotionally, in every way we can think of. And Lord, you know those other needs that might be present here today. Many with just joy in our hearts at being in your presence. Some with sadness, maybe, as going through great struggles and looking to you for answers. Some with great physical needs, whatever it might be. Thank you, Lord, for as your word says, you provide and supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. But we ask for you to bless these gifts today for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We have the cherub choir who's going to come and sing for us. And this is our three-year-old up through third graders. A big thanks to Mick Huber, who plays the piano, and Deb Schmidt, who directs and works with them. And yeah, come on up. And the teachers who do so as well. that was awesome, boys and girls. Yeah, you can sit down. We can have the kids' time. And if there's other children that want to come, please do. Thanks, Mick and Deb. Oh, that's wonderful.
That was wonderful.
So let me say one quick announcement, can I, please? Thank you.
If it's quick. No, kidding.
So Palm Sunday is our confirmation Sunday, all right? So the children will still be bringing in the palm branches. So I hope we can have this many on Palm Sunday. We don't have Sunday school, but church starts at 10 o'clock. So it's actually a shorter Sunday for them, right? Usually you're here at 9:15. So just bring some stuff for them to work on, and they'll be bringing in the palm branches. That's 2 weeks from today. Other announcement I forgot to say real quick. In the Salem Spire, you should have got it today. If not, get it. There is shows a link in there to register for Vacation Bible School. We're able to do that this year online. That's for children. They're first helpers. You register also. That's down lower. So we're trying to get that going here as soon as we can. Okay? Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's all yours.
Good morning, boys and girls. That was wonderful singing. Did you have fun? Well, we were here cheering you on because you did wonderful, and I know you practiced a whole lot. Awesome. Well, you know what? Last night, Pastor Mike and I tried to get all of our work done that we had to do, and then we got into our house and turned on our television set and found a game on last night. Do you like basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we do too, and we like girls' basketball. Do you like girls' basketball? Yeah, do you have any sisters or brothers or knew of maybe your parents? Did any of them go to one of the colleges in South Dakota? Like the University of South Dakota down in Vermilion? You did? Yeah, yeah, you know about them? Your dad, he went to the Jackrabbits. That one's the other one, right? But you are college. That is right. Okay, but you know what? So the girls from Vermilion, the university there of South Dakota, they're called the Coyotes, okay? All the teams from that school are the what are they?
Coyotes.
The Coyotes. And what color do you think they wear?
Red.
So the girls won, and they got really high up in playing basketball, beating games here and there, and they got to go to a game called the Sweet 16, and it was down in Kansas in another state, and they represented our South Dakota, all of South Dakota, the Coyotes. They got to play a basketball game last night, and it was on, and they played another team called the Wolverines. They were from Michigan. Did any of you watch it? Some of you did, right? Well, Mike and I are kind of like, we're a fan, so we watched it. But we didn't like watch them every single time through the season. We just watched them last night. But some people are followers. And you know what followers do that are different than just fans? They always watch them, don't they? They always watch them. They buy shirts from their college. They wear them. They even buy socks that have the Coyotes on them. Isn't that cool? South Dakota Coyotes. I got to borrow these from somebody that there. And not only do they wear red, they wear their basketball shirts for the girls. They wear socks. They even buy the drink cups from the college, right? Because they are downright followers. They're going to watch all of their games. They not only just watch all of their games and all of their sports, but for like this is the girls' basketball that we're talking about, followers would know even probably all the girls' names on the teams, right? They know them because they watch them. For probably some of them, if they were seniors, their parents and friends watched them all the 4 years. Not only that, they knew every time they were going to play. Yep, they knew every time. And if they couldn't be there, you know what else they did? Like what we did? They watch them on TV like we did. They might follow them on Twitter, on their phone, or Facebook, because they are followers. they're going to cheer them on all the time. And it was fun. If you watched it, I thought it was a really nerve-wracking game all the way through. I think I yelled more than Mike. I was standing up and pacing and come on, come on, come on. It was really exciting. It's exciting to do that, right? They did not win, but they played a very good game. And we are just so proud of them all just for making it there. That was quite an accomplishment. Well, do you know, I wonder what it would be like if we are a follower of Jesus. What do you think? Does Jesus like, does he have a Twitter account?
No.
Does he have a Facebook account?
No.
Can I find him on my phone? No, I can find about him. What do you think it would look like if we were a follower of Jesus? What would that look like? We would read the Bible, wouldn't we? We would just not only read it on Sundays or, when do you read the Bible, by the way? When do some of you read it? You read it every day? After when you go to bed, you read the Bible? That's really cool. Anybody else read it at other times? Do you read it too? Yeah. You don't have one? Well, we'll make sure that you're going to get one, okay? Your dad reads it. That's right, because I have a Bible on my phone too. We don't see Jesus on our phone, but we can read the Bible from it. Those are all very important, and those are telling me that we're putting Jesus as number one. To be a follower, we got to put him as number one. He's got to be our priority. And all those things you just told me are great. Now, what about you kids that can't read? Like you said, your dad reads to you, right? Your parents can read to you. Your older siblings can read to you. Do you have picture books about Jesus? Yep, if you're blind and you can't see. Some people have pop-ups. They have Braille. They have other people like can read to them. How about, are all of you, you're all in Sunday school, right? Do you get papers in Sunday school? Do those papers tell you about Jesus and about stories from the Bible? You know what you can do with those papers? You can take those things home and you can look at them again. You can share them with your parents. You can share them with your siblings. Don't just put them away or throw them away. I know we do that sometimes, but that is getting to know Jesus more. That's making him a priority. His word, he tells us everything we need to know in this. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, we got to know what he does. So he knew about his Father God. He spent a lot of time in prayer. Can we spend time in prayer too?
Yeah.
What can we pray for? Just say it out. Say me some things. Family. Pray for our family. Pray for our food. Ask God to bless it. Our crops. Our sisters, that's a good one. Pray for your sisters. Good job, Landon. You know what? Do you ever pray for your teachers?
Yeah.
You could pray for them. We as teachers, we want prayers. Do you ever pray for your neighbor, your people? Do you ever pray for kids in your class or at your daycare? You could pray for them. How about this? Do you ever pray and ask God to help you to be a better follower? You know what? He knows how. He can teach us how to be a better follower all day long. Jesus followed God. He prayed to God. He spent time with God. And I think Jesus was kind. Do you think he was kind? If we want to follow Jesus, we need to do what he did. Be kind. He was kind a lot of times in the Bible. He shared in the Bible. He told us to do that. Do you know what else? He provided for food. He did things like that. He took care of people that had needs, people that were sick. He went to them. We can do that too. We can be kind at school. You know what? I was there last week, and I got to help in a classroom there, and it was really a lot of fun. And I was at recess, okay? I thought that was pretty fun. Did we have fun at recess, Miles? Yeah. We won't talk about the dinosaur playing. But anyway, we did have fun there. But there was one time when a little girl came up to me, and you know what she said? So-and-so won't let me play with them. They won't let me play with them. So if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, what should we do?
Be nice.
Be nice. Let them play with our group. Don't just say it has to be me and just my best friends. No, if we want to be like Jesus, we want to be kind. Okay? So let's just think about all these things. But above all, let's pray and ask God, help me to be a better follower of Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that we have. We thank you so much for these wonderful children, Lord, you have blessed us with. Help us as parents to be better followers of you, God, and to help our children be followers of you too. Help us all, even as older adults, no matter what age we are, we want you to be, Jesus and God, our number one priority. We want to be the best follower of you. And thank you for these kids. Bless them wherever they go this week. Help them to be loving. Help them to read your Bible even more. Help them to be kind to others and to be kind with our words. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can get your paper.
Amen. Thank you, Ann. We're going to sing number 308. There is a Redeemer. 308. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, yes, thank you for giving us your Son, your only begotten Son. Thank you for leaving us the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us to guide us and direct us, to illuminate your word to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, I thank you also for all these beautiful children that were just up here and singing, for all the families they represent. I thank you for the parents who make the effort to be here on Sunday mornings early for Sunday school and through the worship service time. Bless them, bless their lives, bless their homes, I pray, and keep them safe. So thank you for your word now. I ask, Father, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those here today. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll be in John's Gospel first, I guess. I didn't tell you which one we were doing first, Caleb, but yeah, John 18. So before I do, I start reading. We've been walking here up to Jerusalem is our theme this Lenten season. Last Sunday, we were on Thursday evening, the Passover, as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. We talked about that night, the upper room, the importance of us having an upper room, a place of intimate fellowship individually with our God and our Father. So now we're going later into that evening. After all that was done, John 18, verse 1, when he had finished praying, okay, chapter 17 of John is his entire prayer, the high priestly prayer. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Now, that's as far as we're going to read there today. If you know, going on, of course, Jesus of Nazareth, he says, "I am he," and bam, they all just flat on their backs. The power of God in full display there. Go Matthew 26, a couple verses here. Some more details of this night, though. Verse 30, Matthew 26, verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Amen. All right. So that third, I'm going to be going back and forth between John and Matthew here, these two passages mostly this morning. Verse 30 of Matthew 26, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The book of Psalms was their hymn book, like we have our hymnals today. That was their hymn book at that time, and even on through the early ages of the church, it was. So what did they sing? Do you ever wonder? We know what they sang from the Passover night and meal. There were very specific psalms they sang, and it was Psalm 113 through 118. Those six chapters is what they would have sang on that evening. It is called Hallel, the Hallel. And Hallel means praise. So we get our word hallelujah from it. I thought how cool the songs that the cherub choir sang this morning, how God works those things out according to his plan. The kids, what'd you sing? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I got one with me. Thank you, whoever that one was. Oh, yeah, they did awesome, didn't they? Yeah, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 113, if you read it, the first words are praise the Lord. The last words of the Psalm 113 is praise the Lord. So that is the hymn that they sang all at once. I looked at different commentaries. What John MacArthur's commentary brought it out that probably in the early, the start of the meal, they sang chapters, what we have would be chapters 113, 114. They go on in the meal. Middle of the meal, they would sing 115, 116. At the end of it all, they sang 117, 118, as Matthew 30 says, when they had sung a hymn. And he brought out in his commentary that the way that would really say in the Greek, to me this is interesting, it says they hymned. What would that say to you? That it continued on through the evening, right? They hymned through the evening, all six chapters, the last one being Psalm 118. As they went out into the dark of the night, Jesus knowing what's going to happen, they were singing God's praises. there. John 18, verse 1, let me jump over there real quick. It says, when he had finished praying, again, that was in the upper room. The prayer was John 17, the whole chapter. Jesus left with his disciples. They crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side was an olive grove. We know it as the Garden of Gethsemane. He and his disciples went into it. Let me talk about that first, the Kidron Valley, just for a little bit. And this is a quote from this book that I've told you I've been reading with him all the way through this Lenten season. It says this, from the north gate of the city of Jerusalem, that's where they would have went out of the city, okay? The path descended sharply down a steep embankment leading to the valley of the Kidron. This brook had cut a deep ravine east of Jerusalem between the walls, and those walls were high, and the Garden of Gethsemane up on the across the valley up the Mount of Olives. At the point opposite the gate where they went out, used by Jesus and his disciples, the gully was about 100 feet below that gate. That's quite a drop there, 100 feet. Very steep down and nearly 400 feet wide. So here's just to give you a picture. The gully was deeper at the time of Christ than it is today, and water flowed through it most of the year round. In the spring of the year, it could have been very high, historians say. The water, even today, it drains all of Jerusalem's valleys down to the Dead Sea. All right? So just a picture there of it. We were there when we first got to Jerusalem on the bus. They led us up on the top of the Mount of Olives. They let us off. And there was a place there where the minister that led our group, Perry Stone, he gave about a half-hour teaching. And then they took us down the Mount of Olives into the Garden of Gethsemane, what it would have been, all that walk down. And at the bottom, so we didn't cross over that, and I don't recall there being water in it when we were there, because that was November. But at the bottom of it, then we got on buses. But if you've ever seen pictures of it, even today, the road, it goes a long way south and curves and comes back up and back up, you know, sort of what we would call switchbacks if we were hiking, except these were very long stretches to make a gradual climb up into the city of Jerusalem. So it is, just as this said, and Jesus would have crossed that many times during his years of ministry, going out of Jerusalem, back up to Bethany, back even to Galilee, northern Israel. So obviously that was a part of their life. They were very familiar with it. So, crossing the Kidron Valley, let's talk about this. Number one, if you're filling in again, Jesus' Valley of Decision. This, I'm going to call the Valley of Decision, all right? John 18, verse 1 in the Old King James Version. I sort of like how it says it there. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth. I mean, he's going forth deliberately with purpose. He knows what lies ahead. The disciples, they don't. And how could they? He went forth with his disciples. So in this, okay, a couple things we know. First of all, Judas. What he knew the place. Was he with them when they were going? No, because he had left earlier in the evening. At some point in the supper, he had left to go out, get the soldiers and all that. It says Judas knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. See, that was another place of prayer that they had in that garden. The man who owned it, not named. We saw last week about the upper room. Go and find a man. He's going to be carrying this jar of water. He's not named. That, what we learned last week, that was a secret place where they were going. Jesus didn't want anybody to know about it because it was intimate with him and the 12, including Judas Iscariot. He didn't want Judas Iscariot to know about it until they got there because he knew Judas was going to go and betray him. So again, he's in control every step of the way. But Judas comes there, and this we'll get into probably more on Wednesday night, with this detachment of soldiers. Judas, the only reason Judas knew where they were going to be going that night was because of the pattern that he saw in Jesus' life. They often went there for prayer. It was a special place for just them. Corporate prayer is important. Corporate prayer, yes, in the size of the congregation as we pray together, but smaller groups, the 8:30 prayer group we have, about 10, 12, that come pretty faithful. That's a special time. We pray from 8:30 to 9 for every part of this day, the service, the Sunday school, praying over the congregation. The prayer time at noon, that's more about 45 minutes. You're all welcome to any of these times. We pray again for the church and of certainly needs beyond. The upper room. These are upper rooms. It's important. Just this last Friday morning when the prayer chain went out about Reverend Bruce Herbolt to the congregation, I thought it was neat because one of the texts that came back to me after that said, "Our upper rooms will be busy today." And I hope they were, and they will continue. Yeah, when such a tragedy happened. So Judas knew that place. You know what? Going on, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. We see that in John chapter 13 when they're at the table. When Judas took the bread that time, it said Satan entered into him. At that point, he was totally possessed by the devil. Totally possessed. Jesus said to him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." Jesus told him, but no one at the meal, none of the other 11, understood why Jesus said this to him. "What you do, do quickly." If you'd read on those verses, it says they thought, oh, maybe he was telling him to, because he was the treasurer, to go help the poor. Maybe it was something else he was supposed to be doing. So Jesus knew. In Christ, so here's in his humanity, okay? Jesus, fully God, his deity, fully man, 100% God, 100% man in that flesh and blood body. In his humanity, Hebrews tells us he was tempted in all points as we are, yet he was without sin. He felt what we feel. The joy, the sorrow, the struggles, the temptations, he felt it all. In his humanity, this is what I'm calling his valley of decision. This author brings out, he said, and he must have been in Israel and walked this out to get the timing of it. It was sort of interesting. He said he determined it would have taken Jesus and the disciples from when they got to that northern gate to go down the valley, across the Kidron, the brook, up to the Garden of Gethsemane, 17 and a half minutes. So interesting, I thought. That he didn't figure in the time from where they were in the upper room to get to the gate. That would have added more time in there, okay? But his point was that it would have left him and his disciples plenty of time to escape. All right, now I get it. He wouldn't. He didn't, right? Because he knew the mission. He knew it, okay? But it was like crossing that valley. That was the final point right there to what the rest of that night held and what the next, through the night, the whippings, the beatings, through Friday being nailed to the cross, that would have been really the last chance, so to speak. But this, I'm talking about his humanity, right? Even at the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest him, remember, Peter takes out his sword and cuts off the servant of the high priest right there. And what does Jesus do? Put away your sword. picks up the ear, sticks it back on the guy's head, and heals him. And what does he say? There's a song on it. I love the song. It says, "Don't you know that I can now call on my Father, and he would not give me more than 12 legions of angels?" 12 legion means 72,000 angels. No, it must be this way. It must be. So we go in to the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to show you here a difference too on that night of his humanity, his deity. I don't know if you ever, I don't know if I brought this out before on this point or not, but when he's praying, Matthew 26, I'm back there now. He fell to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible." He knew it wasn't. Okay, he knew it wasn't. "If it is possible, may this cup," that's the cross, "be taken from me. Yet," now listen to this phrase, "yet not as I will." That's his humanity, his human side. Because he, "not as I will," Jesus, fully God, fully man, in his deity, he wouldn't be praying that because he knew. "Not as I will." I'm struggling with this in my humanity because I know what's coming. "Yet as you will." And there he goes over to his deity because he is one with the Father. What was the decision he was making there? No turning back. There is no turning back. What compelled him to go forward? His love for the Father. I'm talking in his humanity, his love for all of you, his love for these kids up here. That just brought tears to my eyes of joy. His love for humanity as he crossed that Kidron Valley. Do you know, 1,000 years earlier in Jerusalem, King David's son, Absalom, led a rebellion against him and turned a large part of Jerusalem against King David. They got together, and King David and some of his men had to flee the city. And if you'd read it in 2 Samuel 15, in that chapter, it says the whole countryside, King David said, "We must flee." The whole countryside wept aloud as the people were passing by, King David and those with him. The king also crossed the Kidron Valley, and all the people moved towards the desert. Why do I bring that out? There's great differences in what happened with King David and our King Jesus Christ. Jesus is David's greater son, right? The scripture tells us that, who will sit on the throne of David and reign forever and ever. What King David fled from his enemy, Jesus went across that garden to face his betrayer, Judas Iscariot. When it came to that night at the garden and they went to arrest him, what the scriptures say, he went out to meet him. And them, I should say. He went out to meet him. And David fled. However, when David came back, because he had a large part of his military might that did stay with him as they fled into the desert, but eventually he came back with his military might and put down that revolt that his son Absalom had done. He crushed the revolt in his own strength. What did Jesus do with the rebellion of our sin? He freely gave his life on the cross himself so that him in all of his righteousness would not crush our sin, crush us in our sin. He took our sin upon himself, right? Just sort of cool to think about. I wonder if he thought about that night when he was crossing. He very well could have. Number two, these next two points are quicker. All right, Jesus' valley of decision first. Well, what about our valley of decision? We have a valley of decision. We have valleys of decision. The most important valley of decision we have to make is, what are we going to do with Jesus? Are we going to accept him, receive him as our Lord and our Savior, as who he is? Or are we going to say, no, like much of the world does, no, don't need him. No one is Christian by birth. We are not born believers. This is very simple. We all should know this. David said in Psalm 51:5, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Life begins at conception. Right there, says it. Pretty clear. Sinful. That's why we have to be born again. No one is a Christian by environment. Just because we're raised in a Christian home, and what a blessing to be raised that way. That's an incredible blessing. But that does not make us a believer. We have to come to faith in Christ on our own. The Jewish people at the time of Christ, Jesus even said to them, "Don't you think that you can say just because we have Abraham as our father," and I'm paraphrasing, "that we're all okay with God?" No, we have to be born again. No one becomes a Christian by his or her own strength. We cannot do it. This is the number one valley of decision. See, Peter, the other disciples on that night, going back to Matthew 26, when Jesus said, "I'm telling you, before this night's over, you're all going to betray me. You're all going to deny me. For it's written," he's quoting from Zechariah, "I'll strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Peter says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. That's a just response. They loved him. Peter loved him. But he's thinking he's going to do this in his own strength. Jesus said, and we all know it, "No, you guys, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." Peter, like, "Never. Even if I have to die with you, I will not disown you." No, when we come to Christ and know him as our Lord and Savior, he's the one that gives us the strength to live for him. And we see that in Peter's life then on the day of Pentecost and beyond. He does. These valleys of decision in our own lives, that's number one. There's all kinds of things otherwise. We all make decisions. Sometimes people betray us. And that hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes even those closest to us come against us. And it hurts incredibly. And it's in those times, especially, we're at a valley of decision. What are we going to do? Especially if it's in the church. What did Jesus, when Judas betrays him, and you could say, "Well, he knew it was going to happen." Yes, he did. But in his humanity, he still felt the pain of that. But he kept his eye on the plan, on the Father, and he walked through it. And we have to as well. None of us are perfect. By any means, we keep our eye on the Father and ask for his healing in our lives. Third, the valley of decision for all nations. This is sort of cool as I'm wrapping this up here. The valley of decision for all nations. Do you know in the book of Joel, the prophet Joel, I have the verses there. God is saying through that prophet, he's speaking of the second coming of Christ, "I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them." You know what the valley of Jehoshaphat is? Most scholars believe the Kidron Valley, right there in Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to return on the Mount of Olives. And that is, and if you'd go down to verse 14 of that third chapter of Joel, what does it say? It says, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near the valley of decision. Our decision, yes, it is the working of the Holy Spirit, number one, absolutely. Working in our hearts, working in others' hearts to draw us to Jesus, to open the eyes of the understanding. That's why if you have lost loved ones, and I imagine we all do, you pray for them, for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives, to open the eyes of their understanding, and they come to Christ. As we know, that valley of decision is the difference between heaven and hell. It is. Multitudes in the valley of decision. John 3:18, we don't hear this verse so much, but John 3:16, we all know by heart, and much of the world does. What does John 3:18 says? Whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now, I'm going to close in prayer here a little differently today. And this, one of our eighth graders, which if you're here on Confirmation Sunday, you will hear this part in his faith statement. So I'll wait till then. But as I meet with all of them, as I met with him, and he told me how he came to know Christ, this is what he said. The time that I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior was on a summer Sunday morning between my 7th and 8th grade year. It was during the church service when Pastor Mike led us into a prayer asking Jesus to be our Lord. Let me stop for a second. Sometime I've done that. I do it periodically. Some may think, why are you doing it in church, Pastor Mike? Well, why not? Here's a perfect example going on with his statement. It was during that prayer that I believed and asked Jesus into my heart. From that point on, I became a believer. And that is what it is all about. It's all about. So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you would repeat after me, everybody. If there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus, and you do this from your heart, call out to him and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Let you pray after me, please. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I am a sinner. I confess my sin to you. And I know that I need a Savior. Without you, Jesus, I am lost. So I confess my sin to you. I believe, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. You are the very Son of God, the Messiah. And you came to this earth and went to the cross in my place. And you took my sin upon yourself. Thank you for doing that. And I believe, Jesus, that God raised you from the dead. Victorious over death and hell and the grave. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sin and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Never know what I have thought that day that that young man sitting there would remember that day and write about it in his faith statement. You can come, Cindy, to the organ. So we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No turning back. Let's stand. Number 602. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Amen. No turning back. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And we'll sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the ocean, white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies, if you're going to the meeting and want to be dismissed, please do so. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you Wednesday night.